Welcome to Chris Radio Presents. I am Sandy Murillo, and we are broadcasting from the Chicago Lighthouse in our studios at the Chicago Lighthouse Media Center. Public transportation is so important for people with disabilities. It helps us be more independent and get around more easily. Chicago has long been regarded as a city with one of the best accessible public transportation systems in the United States. There are Braille signs for those who are blind that can help us navigate throughout train stations, as well as audible announcements on buses and trains that'll help us know where we are. A recent report launched by the Metropolitan Planning Council suggests that there are still many improvements that need to be made in order for public transportation in Chicago and its suburbs to be fully accessible and usable by individuals with disabilities. The report, which was launched on December 5th, lists several findings as well as 32 recommendations on how to make these improvements. And today, joining us is Greg Pullman, who is the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Chicago Lighthouse, and Greg was involved with this report. Greg, thank you so much for joining us in studio today.
I'm glad to be here today, Sandy.
Tell us about the background on the report and why exactly was it done?
The Metropolitan Planning Council had decided to take on a universal study, taking a look at the mobility infrastructure within the region. It was throughout Chicago and the suburbs through, you know, this particular Region 7. And one of the purposes, or the main purpose of the study, was to find out what gaps are in the structure that make it less accessible to people who are disabled and for seniors. They started this study probably, I would say, about a year and a half or 2 years ago. And they first had the University of Chicago take a look at paratransit and how paratransit function within the region. And they did quite an extensive study on the ADA and how it worked, you know, whether or not, you know, some suburbs they have transportation, fixed transportation that ends at 5 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening.
Sure.
So therefore you cannot have paratransit. So they looked at those type of gaps along with some of the overall infrastructure of paratransit and its dispatching and how on-time arrivals and on-time pickups of people who use the system. So that was one of the first things that they did. Then they expanded and to take a look at other aspects of just getting around and the travel. Because one of the premises that they had and have is that transportation and mobility is a right, that it should be accessible to all people, not just to those who can use it without any types of accessible changes to the system. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they took the approach that mobility and getting around is a right and that all people should have access.
And I understand that this report included a diverse group of people, from speaking to individuals with and without disabilities to holding focus groups about the challenges faced by people with disabilities using public transportation. Can you tell us more about the people that were involved in the creation of this report?
On the technical committee, there were people from Easter Seals, Access Living, Chicago Lighthouse, PACE, RTA, and other stakeholders, and as they found out various aspects like the University of Chicago study and some of the other findings that they were coming up with, they conducted focus groups. They would go to groups like the ADA Paratransit Chicago Committee, the Suburban Committee, and they went to the RTA Transit Access Committee. They also went to various agencies so that they could talk to people who were riding, especially paratransit, and to talk about some of their what they found positive and what they found negative about using the system. So they not only took a look at it from a data collection standpoint, but they also looked at it by talking with people and getting a feel of how the communities, different communities, felt about the transportation services that they were getting within the region.
Mm.
So I thought that was important for people to know that it wasn't just a few people giving input. They talked to hundreds of individuals to find out the true rider experience along with the collection of the data.
And as I mentioned earlier, this report lists 32 recommendations on how to make the improvements in transportation accessibility. And the major one, Greg, which I found interesting, was to have a mobility coordinator in place to help address some of these issues. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
One of the major recommendations that they came out with, and the top one, was that the region really needed a mobility manager to work with the entire region.
Sure.
Because one of the things that one of the findings was that the system is so fragmented. They have dial-a-rides, they have ADA services, they have county services, and there is no connection. So like if someone is taking paratransit out into a suburb, they may not be eligible or be able to connect with a dial-a-ride or vice versa, because of the way a lot of them are funded through the municipalities that they're in. So that's one of the reasons they were looking at having a regional mobility manager to work with the managers and the other entities.
Sure.
So that to see if there can be a better connection and a better way of putting the pieces together so people can travel smoothly from one place to another. And another one of the findings that they took a look at, and some of this is being solved at the moment,
sure,
is how dispatching of rides on paratransit, the time element, the software that they're using to put together trips for people, how do those trips connect to fixed transportation and so forth and so on.
Sure.
So, because that was some of the biggest complaints when they talked to people, that, you know, long wait times and their trips would have them not going even in the same direction that they needed to go, so it made the rides extremely long.
Mm-hmm.
So there were recommendations made to take a look at all of those aspects of the infrastructure to see if that can be better put in place so that the rider has a more pleasant experience. In addition to this going on, the PACE is also conducting a consult, has some consultant that they're working with to take a look at how to better implement the paratransit that goes on within the region. I don't know where they're at in that study, but I know that they want to find a more cost-effective and efficient way of running the system. And Metropolitan Planning Council also took a look at this on how they can pair together different systems so that people can, for example, get rides on demand, possibly look at some kind of combination with some of the Ubers and Lyfts and Vias of the world so that people can get to where they need to go in a more cost-effective and efficient way.
I have to say, Greg, it is very interesting to me as a paratransit rider that you mention collaboration between paratransit services and rideshare, because I myself have had several situations where my paratransit ride might be late, or maybe I am not able to schedule a ride a day in advance. And you know, this is where services like Uber or Lyft come in very handy. And to me, I have to say that as a rider with a disability, having such a collaboration between both of these services, I think that it would make such a big difference for riders with disabilities. And let's not forget that rideshare services also need to be made more accessible to users in wheelchairs or with other mobility disabilities.
And I think that's something that I think PACE itself is looking at very seriously.
Well, Greg, but as you and I know, accessible transportation is not about just the actual physical buses or trains. You know, accessibility goes beyond having a ramp in a bus or having an elevator in a train station. People have to be able to get to, let's say, the bus stop or the train station. And, you know, something that's interesting too is that there are also challenges with the accessibility, for example, of sidewalks to get to these locations. So can you tell us more about some of those findings and some research that has been done about this?
Chicago Metropolitan Area Planning, which is a quasi-state agency, they had conducted an aerial inventory of sidewalks throughout the region.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things the Metropolitan Planning Council wants to do is get this to the next level to show where there are ramps and accessible pedestrian signals, where the sidewalks go all the way through, because they found that, like in some of the suburbs, that they had these beautiful platforms with a bus stop, but a person who is a wheelchair user couldn't get there because there was no sidewalk to that platform. Or there's sidewalks, then a block later or half a block later the sidewalk will end, you know, that type of thing. So I think for people to travel, even, you know, using fixed route or ADA or some others, Uber or Lyft or Via, there has to be, you know, sidewalks so that people can get from point A to point B. So, I said wheelchair, people with wheelchairs, but also people who are blind or visually impaired, because I know some people live in suburbs where they have to walk in the streets because there are not any sidewalks. And you know, there's always the possibility that, you know, one could possibly get hit, you know, walking along the street, and especially at especially, you know, when it turns towards evening and etc.
Yes, I have several friends with visual impairments that live out in the suburbs, and that's one of the things that they often mention to me, you know, that especially when it gets later on in the day, when it gets darker, you know, they are not comfortable walking out in sidewalks that maybe are uneven, or maybe, as you mentioned, you know, they'll have to walk in the middle of the street to get to a specific bus stop or train station. So it's important to have this accessibility and this infrastructure so that all people with disabilities can, first of all, access the transportation. How about when it comes to seniors with disabilities, Greg? You know, as we are well aware, older adults are more likely to become disabled in one way or another. So this report also looks into different barriers for seniors. Is that correct?
Within this, you know, they took like a multi-generational approach, you know, look at the infrastructure.
Sure.
And taking a look at whether or not the environment is conducive for aging in place.
Mm.
So that people, as they become older, may need, you know, accommodations that in order to take transportation.
Sure, sure.
Instead of, you know, so, and then they can also stay in their communities. So that was another, you know, one of the other things that they looked at as far as recommendations.
And Greg, you were involved with this report. You were a technical advisor. So tell us a little bit about the actual launch. How many people were out there? What was the turnout like?
There was a lot of interest in this study. I went to the launch of last week on the 5th of the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 150 people that attended this event, and there were state representatives there, there were older people, there were commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
There were people from from transportation.
Sure.
There were advocates, the media. So this stimulated a great deal of interest in this topic, and I think it generated a lot of concerns and. I think there are more people that are interested in, you know, that this go forward and that, you know, action is taken. Because, as we all know, the communities are, people are aging. And therefore, accommodations or accessibility becomes more important. I think the other point that they mentioned, and I always mention is that something, you know, the ramps on a wheelchair or an elevator at a station, these things are so universal that, you know, they help people who have baby strollers. They help, let's say you had an accident and you happen to be on crutches for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Or so these aren't things that are just put there for people with disabilities or somebody who has seniors. These things help, you know, many people within the community. So therefore, I think it kind of sparks interest in the whole idea that it should be done instead of that it's, oh, we're doing it for this group of people, but we're doing it for all people.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, Greg, that caught my attention is that the report also encourages people themselves with disabilities to advocate for change.
Yes, and I think was very evident, you know, just the way they put together this study and
sure.
how they went about it is that they used they contacted and interacted with a lot of people with disabilities. And I think if you are not, let's say you come across an environment that's inaccessible and stuff, I think people need to, you know, call or make a point of noting to someone that this is not acceptable, why it's not. So I think I agree with that whole philosophy, because if one doesn't advocate for oneself, I guess no one will.
What are the next steps? I mean, we have all these 32 recommendations, which we, you know, we touched on the main ones, but what are the next steps?
I think the next steps are that they're going to share this information with PACE, mm-hmm. and, I mean, especially on the paratransit side of it, share it with PACE and work on some of, and, you know, let them know the findings on, you know, that people want services more on demand, you know, the whole arrival and pick up and arrival to your next destination, the time, you know, the lack of timeliness and so forth, so that they can, in the study that they're doing, can integrate these findings and implement, because they're the ones that are going to need to implement the recommendations on the paratransit side. So they're going to be sharing it with various people. The thing on the regional mobility manager, they're going to be working with a number of the Dollar Ride and ADA services that are outside of PACE, paratransit, and work with municipalities and mayor's committees and so forth to see if they can come up with a solution to better integrate those systems for people. So those are just a couple things that that I know they're going to do. And like I said, with the sidewalk portion of this, they're going to drill it down a little bit more to find out where the gaps are as far as wheelchair ramps and missing sidewalks or partial sidewalks and so forth, so that they can work with whatever entity, whether it's the Chicago Department of Transportation or the Illinois Department of Transportation, to get these, you know, to get some movement in that area.
We're just about to run out of time, but for anyone that would like to read the report or to learn more about the Metropolitan Planning Council, their website is www.metroplanning.org. That is www.metroplanning.org. And there you can find the full report and also learn about the Metropolitan Planning Council. Is there anything else that you want to add or share?
No, I'm glad that they took this. I'm glad that the Metropolitan Planning Council took this project on, and I was very pleased to see, you know, the 150 people that were at the event, especially the people that were there from the various transportation entities. So it gives you a positive feeling that they're going to be moving, that not only the people with disabilities want this to move forward, but other people had a lot of interest in it and want to see some changes also.
That was Greg Pullman, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Chicago Lighthouse, and he was discussing some recent findings from the Metropolitan Planning Council on some of the accessibility challenges that riders with disabilities face with our current public transportation system here in Chicago and its suburbs. Thank you so much for listening to Chris Radio Presents. I am Sandy Murillo from Chicago Lighthouse Media. Have a great day.